Okay, I'm going to assume that this has started. We have been going through the book of Hebrews for the last couple of days. We're going to keep going through the book of Hebrews over the next few weeks, or maybe a couple of weeks. Yesterday we had just gotten to the part of the book of Hebrews in chapter 4 where Jesus is the great high priest, and so he is presented as greater than the high priest. So the whole theme of the book of Hebrews, we have had to give a title to the book, would be Jesus is better. And so now let's just jump into chapter 5, where he's going to continue this discussion of Jesus as better than the high priest in Judaism. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who is able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So, Jesus is the great high priest, not just a high priest. He's the great high priest. He did not take that honor for himself, it said, but he was given that honor by God the Father. It's interesting also, we've learned that Jesus is merciful and faithful high priest, but he's not merciful and faithful as a high priest in the same way that human high priests were merciful and faithful and gentle. Because Jesus was not beset with weakness like those high priests were. And so Jesus's mercy and faithfulness is of a better order than those of the high priests who have joined us in our sin, and who they have to be cleansed and they have to offer sacrifices before they can offer sacrifices for the people. Whereas Jesus, because he became like us, yet without sin, does not have to offer a sacrifice for himself first to cleanse himself. He was perfectly clean. And Jesus was so clean that when he went up to a leper who was unclean and he touched them, usually touching an unclean leper would make a person unclean, but and so the uncleanness would transfer from the unclean person to the clean person. But Jesus's cleanness went the other direction. He was so clean that he could touch a leper and that person would become clean and healed. And so Jesus did not need to offer sacrifices for his own transgressions and be right before God, be made right before God, before offering his sacrifice for the sins of people. His sacrifice was eternally pleasing because he himself was eternally pleasing, qualitatively and quantitatively in terms of his righteousness before the Father. And so you get to talking about this guy named Melchizedek, and he appears in Genesis chapter 14 with Abraham. And I'll wait to say more about him until chapter 7, because the author of Hebrews is going to talk more about Melchizedek. But it's this his name, the Hebrew word for king is Malak, and the back part of his name Zedek is righteousness. So a king of righteousness, who was a priest of God Most High. So he was a king and a priest of God, and he's going to like delve into that a little bit more later in chapter 7, that he was the king of righteousness, and that he was also king of Salem, which is Jerusalem, and Salem is peace. He was the king of peace, king of righteousness. These are what his names mean. And he was this guy who isn't given a lineage in the beginning of or Genesis. He's not given this lineage of after he's there. He just kind of appears on the scene. And rather than being this Levitical priest, Jesus is actually going to enter into this line of greater high priest, because Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. He wasn't, like, by birth, he wasn't to be a priest of God like Aaron was as a Levite. He was of the tribe of Judah, but his priesthood, you know, the author of Hebrews is going to say he's a better priesthood because he's in this order of Melchizedek. And so that's what he says in verse 6, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And that is from the Psalms. And I can try to figure out the Psalm at some point. Let's see. It looks like it's Psalm 110, which is interesting. Because that's the same psalm where David says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. So it's that there, this was a very pivotal psalm in the thinking of the apostles and the writers of the New Testament. So anyway, and he ends here saying, you know, let's move on to maturity. And so let's make that our prayer today, that we would move on to maturity in both our love of the Lord and his people and our love of his word and our knowledge of his word. So Father, thank you that Jesus is our great high priest. Thank you that he makes intercession always for us. Thank you that he's better. He's better than the high priests who arose out of the tribe of Levi. He's better even than Aaron, who was the first high priest, according to your law. That Jesus is this eternal high priest who joined us in our suffering, but did not join us in our sin. And so he can help us. He can offer real help and mercy to us. Whereas the high priests that were human were sinful like we are and had to offer sacrifices for their own sins. Thank you, Jesus, that you are perfect, that you learned obedience through what you suffered, that you became obedient at every point to your Father, and you grew in your obedience as you lived your human life, that you grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, and therefore you grew in your ability to please God, and you grew in your ability to love and serve God, even though you were perfect at every point in your life. And you grew all the way up to the cross, and you were obedient unto death to your Father. Thank you, Jesus, for offering that perfect sacrifice for us. Lord, I pray that you would give us understanding of the book of Hebrews, and more than that, give us understanding of the great salvation that you have procured for us and that you've given to us. Thank you for pouring out your Holy Spirit into the hearts of your people. Thank you that you dwell in the midst of a people even now called the church, who is being built up into a temple for your dwelling. God, make us a fit dwelling place for you. Grow us up into maturity and help us to be teachers. Help us to be those who can endure and appreciate and love and take in solid food and not just need milk like infants. God, grow us up into mature manhood and womanhood in Christ. Fit our body together. Protect your sheep today, Jesus, as our great shepherd, and help us to walk faithfully before you, to love you and to love your people and to love our families well. Equip us with everything that we need for life and godliness this day by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all have a great day.